This morning, before I get into the sermon, there's one announcement that I needed to amend just a little bit. Bill made it. He had said that we're going to have our movie night this coming Sunday, which is Mother's Day, and we've moved that to the next Sunday. So Mother's Day, we're having our family challenge so that we can have an all afternoon to spend with mothers and cleaning up and doing all that for mom, not making her do it. And then we're going to have our movie night the very next Sunday. So it would be not the 8th, but the 15th. Is that math right? Today's the 1st, 8th, and 15th, right? Yeah. Okay, so the 15th is movie night. The 8th is Mother's Day. Let me repeat, guys, just in case you've forgotten. The 8th is Mother's Day, so make a... You don't want to be like that, you know, the iPod or the iPhone commercial, you know, where you're like, happy anniversary. Oh, yeah, great. And he's like scrambling around. Yeah, don't let that happen. Remember, I want to talk, as you can see, a picture speaks 1,000 words. And you can look on the back of your order of worship and you can see that, we're going to be talking about kind of the events of this week. The destruction in Alabama and parts of Mississippi and other places over, you know, starting last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, and even later on in the week, the destruction is immense and it's widespread. And this morning, as Howard's already mentioned, there are people today that still don't know heads or tails of what's going on in their lives. You know, you could see, and each one of us have looked, no doubt, on the internet or on TV and seen the images of just entire subdivisions of houses just gone. Not broken windows and, you know, messed up shrubbery and hail damage on your cars, but gone. Gone, gone. People here in Tullahoma this morning are still finding pictures and personal belongings of people that live in Alabama. The supercell of this storm that came through was over 55,000 feet high. Now, a normal supercell that comes through and it's a devastating storm is in the 30s, maybe even into the 40,000 feet high. But the higher the elevation of that cell, the stronger and the more impact that it has. And 55,000 foot high cloud and cell coming through that spawned all of those tornadoes. And as you see from the pictures, it was it's a scary sight to behold. And we serve a God this morning, and we're here to worship a God that not only can make sense out of all that of this that's going on, but that just the sound of His voice changes this. The sound of His voice, just His thought, the inkling. The question this morning that I want to pose, and this, you know, and I apologize if the sermon is not as polished as it normally is, because obviously I wasn't planning on preaching the sermon this week until I, you know, it just was overwhelming, and I thought that maybe this would be an appropriate topic. So the sermon that I was going to preach, that I had practiced more and more and researched even more. Well, you'll get that sometime later on this year. It won't be next week because it's Mother's Day, and it won't be the week after that because there's a sermon series starting. But you'll get it at some point. But the question I want to ask this morning is, can we praise Him in the storm? In your order of worship, there's a song that's by Casting Crowns that on the normally where we have an article there, and the lyrics, if you get a chance just to read through, you know, the song starts off, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. The songwriter there saying that over all the years and all of the generations and all of the disasters and all of the things that have gone on for years and years, God, I was sure that by now things like this would be less and less and you would be making this world, you know, better and better and things would be getting better and it wouldn't be so much destruction, but But really, we have no promise of that. We actually have the exact opposite of a promise, that it'll get worse and worse and worse. And the question is can we praise Him in the middle of the storms that come along, in the middle of all of the devastation and all of the things that scare us literally to death? Can we praise Him in those storms? Because they're not going to stop. They're not going to get less. They're not going to get more more infrequent. They're going to actually get more frequent, and things are going to heat up even more. And we have to ask this question on the Wednesdays, the past Wednesdays of our lives: can we praise Him? As we've already read this morning in Job 33, Job 36. Excuse me, I should watch my own notes. Job 36, 22 through 33. God is exalted in His power. No one has prescribed His ways for Him or said to Him, "You've done wrong." Remember to praise and extol and to lift up His work, which men have praised in song. All mankind has seen it. Men gaze on it from afar. How great is God beyond our understanding. The number of His years is past finding out. He draws up the water, which distills as rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how He spreads out the clouds, how He thunders from His pavilion? See how He scatters His lightning about Him, bathing the depth of the seas. This is the way He governs the nations. As we try to make sense of the events of the past week, as we look at the devastation upon people, and let me say this, on good people. I mean, the people affected by this are good people. Yesterday, I had the privilege of riding to Motlow with Tom Dillingham and delivering a generator that was loaned by Bob Hayes. And you know, a lot of you got that email, said, "Hey, we know people that have no power and they need a generator." And when anybody ever needs anything of a tool nature, I automatically think Bob's shop. I mean, it's pretty much Walmart for me. And I called Bob, and every time he sees my number come across his caller ID, I'm sure he's thinking, "What do you need to borrow now?" And when I told him what it was for, he obviously is like, "Well, of course, you can have whatever you need." And he got it running, and we took it down there and delivered it to some people that that have no power and have an 18-month-old child that needs to take breathing treatments every day. And got to talking to them, and you know what? They love the Lord. I mean, they're fine Christian people. They know the Lord. They go to church. They're good people. I know many, many people that are affected by this that are good people. It's not that they've done something wrong and God is punishing them. So how do you make sense out of this? How do you make sense out of the fact that somebody just like you or I that are at church all the time doing whatever they can to help other people and they come home and their house is gone or they have no power or they're suffering in this way? How do you make sense out of it? What does it mean? And so this morning I want to talk about some realities that we need to be reminded of in times just like this, when we see the images on the internet or on television about all of the destruction and all of the things that go on. And the first reality that we have to make sense of is that God is sovereign over His creation. And it really begins there for us to understand what do storms like this and weeks like this and events of this nature, what do they teach us? And the first thing is that we have to, as God's people, understand He is sovereign over His creation. And creation alone is His alone. In the book of Colossians, in 1 Colossians 1 and 16, it says that all things on heaven and earth, things physical and spiritual, everything created is created by Him and for Him. The creation that we experience, even our own lives, are His and His alone to do with what He pleases. Whether or not we understand all that happened, maybe it's not for us to understand why. Maybe it's not for us to understand what is the reason behind this particular event. Maybe it's to remind us that God is sovereign over all of creation, and we, like everything else in creation, are to submit to Him. God is sovereign. He is in control of the comings and the goings, the going in and the coming out of everything that goes on this planet. God is sovereign. If we keep that in mind, it's easier to move on through the realities that the events of this week teach us. If God is sovereign over His creation, and He, you know, the power at His disposal that He holds, then we have to understand that mankind alone defies Him. I mean, think about that. Think about all of the elements in nature. There's no other element in creation that does not obey God completely. Look at Job 38. God speaks to Job and his companions, and He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" In verse 6, He says, "On what were its footings set, and who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut the seas behind their doors, and who burst forth when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and its bars in place." You know, there was an event not too long ago on the other side of the planet in Japan when an underwater earthquake took place, and it sent waves and waves of ocean into that island nation. And there were sea walls that had been erected, and there were buildings that had withstood sea, either, you know, storms and winds and all kinds of things, that when that water came through there, nothing was going to stand in its way. There was nothing created by man that was going to withstand when those tsunamis came through Japan. And you've seen the footage of just the water coming through and moving things that we would consider unmovable. Huge tractors, trailer trucks and campers and cars and houses and things that we consider to be unmovable. When the ocean came through there, it was all like toys in the path of a angry toddler kicking him out of the way. And God says, "I told those waves to stop, and they did." He says, when I laid all this, I told those waves that your border is here and you will go no further. And what we put in front of it, it laughs at. But yet in the face of God, we alone defy Him. Every other element, God says of the clouds, of the morning, of the waves, of the ocean, of the lightning, of the winds, all of those things He puts where they're supposed to be. In Romans 1, 18 through 21, it goes to tell us about how, although we know of God's glory, although mankind knows of God's existence and His realities and who He is, because because through nature He's unmistakable, we defy Him as God and we don't glorify Him as such. Mankind alone defies God. And in Matthew 8 and 27, after one of the times when Jesus was in a storm, and He says to the winds and the waves, you know, "Be still." When everyone around Him is afraid, that they're saying, "Are we going to die? Are this storm is going to overtake us, and we are going to be, our lives are going to be taken." And He stands and He raises His hands, and just with the utterance of His voice, just by Jesus forcing air through His throat and His larynx and His mouth, shaping the words, "Peace, be still." And then all of the wind and the waves are died down, and people marveled and said, "Who is this guy? Even the wind, even the waves obey Him. Who is this God that does not allow these forces of nature that amaze and frighten us? He doesn't allow them to do whatever they want to do, and yet He allows us. At that moment, at our choice to defy Him. What weeks like this remind me of, not only not only of God's power, not only of the sovereignty that He has over His creation, but it reminds me that of all of the elements of nature, who am I to tell God, I will go here or I will go there? Or I won't go here, or I won't go there, when the wind and the waves, things that I can't even fathom the power and the control of, when they do exactly His bidding, who am I to say, I won't listen to You, Lord. I won't change my heart. I won't allow You to control me and to make a whirlwind of my life and to use me to change whatever You want to change. God, who am I to defy You when even the wind and the waves, when the ocean itself goes where You tell it? Not only is He a sovereign over creation, but the fact of the matter is that storms, and I put those in the air bunnies, air quotes there, storms will end. The reality of the past, the events of this past week, is that storms will end. I know it's raining a little bit today, but this is nothing compared to what was happening on Wednesday. There's a day coming when all will be still. There is a day coming when storms that we've experienced, when destruction like that, will all be over and it will all cease. The one thing that we should be reminded of is that no matter what comes along in our life, no matter how strong the wind, no matter how high the waves, no matter how hot the flames, all of the storms, past, present, and future, the ones that Jesus calmed, the ones that we've experienced, all storms will end one day. Not only do the physical storms, but the spiritual storms in our life, there's nothing that we are enduring that God will not bring to an end. If we will trust Him and just hang in there, there will come a day when it will be peace and it will be still. Another reality of this is that when the storms end, there is a day coming when all will obey. There's a day coming, and 1 Corinthians 15 talks about this day when there's this trumpet that's going to sound, and there's all the clouds that obey God. You see, they're going to get out of the way, and Jesus is going to come, and He's going to redeem His church to Himself, and everyone, even those who defy Him as the true God, the creator of all that we see and know, and defy Him as the Son, the Savior, everyone who defies Him will see, and it says every tongue will confess the name Jesus. There's a day when everyone will obey. Everyone will recognize Him. Now, they might not submit to Him, but they will know. And when that day comes and those storms end for good, God invites us to look forward to that day. You see, the thing about it is that days like Wednesday and Thursday when the storms are going on, and I know that it is frightening in the moment. I know because I have kids too, and I'm worried about them, and I go pick them up early from school, and Lily reminds me, Dad, it's actually safer to stay at school. And I said, I know, but I don't know where you are. I got to know where you are. And I go get them, and we all get, huddled up and all that. I'm like everybody else. I understand that it's fearful at that moment. But God's people should recognize that even in these storms, it's going to pass over. It's going to go away. And it's going to end. And I have the opportunity to look forward to that great day when all storms will cease. And the Bible says that He will wipe every tear away and every fear will be stilled. Every negative emotion we have will just be consumed in the presence of God. See, we look forward to the storm ending, don't we? No doubt Wednesday there was many prayers, God, please make this stop. God, please make it stop. This morning, God's people can be encouraged. I mean, there's destruction, there's work to be done, and this week we have an opportunity to start driving to Alabama, and we're going to make some trips down there. Start helping people pick up and clean up and chainsaw and build and find stuff and hold hands and deliver water. All kinds of opportunities for God's people to do what God wants them to do. And it's a marvelous opportunity. to glorify God. So be encouraged in that. Be encouraged that in the storms that we experience, that we have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of God and to do something that brings glory to God. But more than that, can God's people this morning be encouraged that there's a day that we can look forward to? He tells us in His Word, He promises us, there's a day that God make it stop. That prayer will be answered. Okay. It's all going to stop now. To me, that's encouraging. Those storms remind me that He's going to make it all go away. And everything I'm afraid of is going to be over. Everything I'm worried about is going to be taken care of. Everything that I dread is just going to go away because the storms are going to end. Now, there's not a whole lot more encouraging that I can give you than that this morning. That God is in control. God is in control of His creation, and He tells us that there's a day coming. Y'all look forward to it when it's all going to end. It's all going to go away. And you remember how bright the sun, the sky is that day after the storms? Remember how blue it is? And you get out and you're thinking, you know, I remember driving down the road thinking, I can't believe, you know, yesterday it was hell on earth, it seemed like, but today, there's just a blue that you just can't even look at. And it's so clear, and it's so bright, and it's so inviting. God's going to give us that day. And He's inviting us to look forward to that day forever. This morning, we're still here, anticipating storms that are to come. And there might be here some this morning that are here that don't know that kind of peace, that don't know that kind of anticipation, that don't know that kind of joy of knowing that one day that it'll all be over. Maybe you spent your life defying God, spent your life saying, you know, I will do what I want, I will go where I want. And this morning is an opportunity for you to get in line with the rest of the physical creation and say, God, send me where you want. Do with me what you want. Maybe today is that day. Maybe these storms have reminded you that God is truly who He says He is. And this morning, you can confess His name as Lord and Savior. You can be baptized. And we saw our brother John last week just submit to God and say, I'm yours. Do with me what you want. And you can live fear-free of any storm that's coming, knowing that God will silence them all on your behalf one day. Whatever your need is this morning, if you just need encouragement, if you just need to be reminded of who you are in the sight of God, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?